Join me in James chapter 4, verse 13. James 4, 13. And I would like to draw your attention to the name I have given the sermon. It comes, the title comes from Acts 17, 28. In Him we have our being. And I wanted to bring that word being to your attention just for a moment before we begin. The word being means to be a living thing. Not just having life, but having a state of existence. It is a very full term. And being, understanding our being, is one of the most important parts, basic parts of a person. In Him we have our being. All right, now join me in James chapter 4, 13. And again, I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Way back in 1978, the rock band Kansas had a hit single called Dust in the Wind. I've been singing it all week. But I want to share with you a few lyrics from that song. It's a very simple yet very pointed song. The lyrics go like this. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. Don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever. It slips away. All your money. Won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. I thought seriously about singing it to you. Then wisdom pervaded. Amen. Thank you. It did bring back some incredible memories as I was listening to this song. In the caption associated with the song, it states that the song is a reflective song about mortality's inevitability and one's insignificance in the total picture. The writer, Carrie Livgren, who is now a believer, could very well have been reading James 4, verse 14, as he wrote that song. Once again, I draw your attention to chapter 4, verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Do we realize this? Do we realize that our lives are simply that? A mist. Or as Mr. Livgren puts it, a dust in the wind. The psalmist writes, teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom. Do we know this? Do we understand this? Or are we among those James is addressing here with his words? Are we ones who have little regard for this frail, dependent life? Are we among those who assume we have all of our days before us and we plan and we strive and we do what we can to fill those days using our wisdom with very little, if any, regard for God? And for His sovereign control over our lives. If this is us, we must acknowledge our sin. The theologians call it the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption, a presumption that we have control. Once again from James, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. James's point here is he's teaching an opposition to presumption. An opposition to humans, to us believing that we have control. And again, the title, I remind you, taken from Acts 17:28, in Him we have our being. Which means in Him, Jesus Christ is who it's alluding to, in Jesus Christ we have our existence. James is teaching that we should realize our dependence on the provisions of God through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, it says, by Him, again by Jesus Christ, by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things, that's fully encompassing, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, I know when we look out upon our world today, we would be challenged to have the confidence that Jesus Christ is indeed holding all things together, because we see things that are incredibly contradictory to what we'd think He would have or desire. But see, that would be revealing of our lack of wisdom, because the Scriptures are true, whether we see visibly the truth of them day to day. In this passage from Colossians, we see very clearly He is the Creator. Evolutionists, I'm sorry. He is the Creator. In this we see He, Jesus Christ, is the Ruler. In this we see He, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the Sustainer of our lives. To the point, once again, we find James is teaching us humility. 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 To look at our lives without regard for God is presumptuous and arrogant. To live our lives thinking we actually have control of this existence is pompous, and it shows an entire lack of humility. And James makes this point by giving us this example. Join me again at verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Today, tomorrow, a year, we make plans. This is a presumption of life. We presume we will have those days ahead of us, that we can continue our lives as we desire, rather than seeking God and His will. How many of us have prayed? How many of us have been involved in something and say, Lord, bless this? Rather than, Lord, what would you have for me today? Lord, what is your will for my life today? Presumption of life. Second, this speaks to mastery. Who really is in control? The passage says, tomorrow we will go. We will spend a year there and we will do trade. I have this control. I have this ability. I have control of this. I'm the master of my life. Is that true? Thirdly, as I've just mentioned, he touches ability. James writes, we will get gain. Here the plan is that we will go and get gain. We are taught that within the human spirit, this is a pervading teaching today. You see it everywhere. Within the human spirit is the power and ability to do whatever you desire to do. The only thing you have to do is find self, find their potential, and then within your power, achieve it, and you can do and be anything you desire. We have a phrase for it. It's called the American Dream. Have you ever asked the question whether the American Dream was biblical? Now, I don't want to come too hard down upon us of hard work and doing good, because the Bible teaches, work and you shall eat. But so many times our children are taught this idea of hard work and fortitude without ever bringing God into the equation. Yes, we're all to work hard. We are to do what God gives us to do. But where is God? Where is God in His sovereignty? Where is God in His decrees? Where is God in His will? Jesus told a parable to teach us this very idea of sovereign power and the lack of control and the ability of mankind. Join me in Luke chapter 12, if you would. Luke chapter 12, a parable teaching this very idea that James is saying in his writing. Luke 12, 16. Yeah, let's start at 16. Luke 12, 16. And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" I've remembered of what David Brady has told us many times. He said it probably to you, that when you die, somebody else is going to own your stuff. Jesus calls this man a fool. Then in verse 20 he said, "So is the one," so, fool, "and so is the one a fool who lays up treasure for himself and is rich and is not rich toward God. So is one a fool who sees himself in himself the ability and control of life." Now join me back in James 4:15, please. Now James turns to teach us. He's convicted us. Now he turns to teach us. James 4:15. "Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord's, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" Now, we might be saying that such a simple statement, what good is that simple statement, just uttering that? Well, it's not the statement, and it is not that magical chant or mantra that you would go through to say, no. But the statement reveals the position of the heart. It reveals the position of humility before God. It reveals the position of the heart. If the Lord wills... I'm going to Presbytery meeting on Tuesday. I've made the plans, etc., etc. Actually, I pray the Lord would come so I wouldn't have to go. It shows the position of their heart. The person who utters this prayer, the person who utters this statement, is the person who within their hearts and within their souls understands God and His sovereignty. The person who says this understands their dependence upon God. They understand the brevity of life. They understand limited ability and power. They understand their lives are lived at the discretion of God, not at the discretion of a calendar. Above all, this reveals humility. The humility of person, and moves them into a better right relationship with God. theology lesson here of sorts. We touched it in Sunday school. What this is talking about is a characteristic of God's called providence. We don't hear that word often today. Providence. Providence means a superintending or forecasting care. The providence of God upholds and governs every created thing. All His attributes are engaged in His sovereign control of all things. Our first president, George Washington, wrote, in many of his documents, you see the word providence. He almost renamed God providence. In his Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789, he writes, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly to implore His protection and favor." How many times have you heard a politician do that today? How many times have you heard us do that, say that? We as individuals, we as Christians must understand the providential care, the providence of God, and our submission in humility to that. James writes in verse 17, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, that is sin." So now you are without excuse. Now please understand, James is not teaching that we should live our lives without regard for the future. He is not teaching that we should live our lives without regard of taking care of ourselves with the means available. God has blessed us richly in so many ways. The scriptures tell us to teach our children so that they might grow up understanding and knowing God. That speaks to future. We are to do these things. We are to do the things necessary to care and provide. However, we must always do it in submission and in humble reliance upon the providence of God. It's a motive of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart, is what James is speaking of. Rather than going about our lives arrogantly, I can do. No. It's a position of humility. If the Lord wills, I will do. Providence of God. The providence of God. We need to understand and comprehend the providence of God. Turn with me to Psalm 104, please. Psalm 104. It's a psalm of 35 verses, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to read you the entire psalm. You may follow along or you may listen. The providence of God. Listen. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted, in them birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their den. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. A psalm of providence. The providence of God. We must, in humility, give to the providence of God. Let's pray together. Father, I must confess, in a world in which we daily give our lives, we get so caught up in the day-to-day pace. Sometimes it seems we're just trying to keep up. It's so easy for you to be replaced with activity, with our desires, our motives, our direction. But help us to be mindful that we live and breathe and have our being at your discretion. Through Jesus Christ, I have life. Through the power of the Spirit, I breathe and have my being. And all of this at the discretion of God the Father. Help us in our hearts to know and to live this, to teach our children this, to say that if it pleases the Lord, if the Lord wills, then let it be so. In Jesus Christ I pray, amen and amen.